Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for a living.
And I've been going around the country. I was in New York on Monday, Connecticut Thursday and Friday. I got home yesterday morning about 9 to watch my son's T-ball. And I want you to know I had more of an experience with the Lord watching my son play T-ball than in New York or Connecticut together. Because one thing you learned in life, that God is about the family and the family ought to be about God. And I want you right now with your hand on that shoulder, there's a word in my spirit, and it's been in my spirit throughout this year. Things are going to get better. And I want you to pray with me that things are going to get better. And I don't want you to pray for you. I want you to ask God, make things better for the person next to me. Because what you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. When you become unselfish, when you leave the spirit of pride and self-indulgence and egocentricity and you pray for other people, it's amazing how things happen for you. And right now in the name of Jesus, we pray that the people in this body today, that things will start getting better. We thank you that the future is better than the past. We thank you that the days ahead are better than the days behind us. We thank you that this is the day that we plead the blood. Satan, we want you to be on high alert that the people of God are praying in Crystal River, Florida, that we're praying for the Lord of the breakthrough to send breakthrough to somebody's son, somebody's daughter, somebody's niece, somebody's nephew, somebody's grandmother, somebody's grandfather, somebody's uncle, somebody's aunt. They need a supernatural breakthrough. And you are Lord of the breakthrough. And right now in the name of Jesus, touch that diabetes. Touch that congestive heart failure. Touch that individual who suffers with migraine headaches and arthritis. In the name of Jesus, you are the God that makes it better. And in the name of Jesus, come on, begin to proclaim it. Better in the name of Jesus. Your money gets better. Your marriage gets better. Your finances get better. In the name of Jesus, your children get better grades and better attitudes. We think that our church attendance going into the fall is going to be better than it was in the spring and better than it was in the summer. Lord, we thank you that our finances are going up. We thank you that not only are our finances going up, but our joy is going to be full. Come on, lift your hands now and praise God for the next 4 months of this year to be better than the last 8 months of this year. Now give God a clap and praise. Give him a clap and praise. Come on, clap your hands and let's celebrate God. Give three people a high five and say, things gonna get better for me. I don't know how it looks for you, but honey, things are gonna get better for me. How many of you believe that? And how many of you expect that? Well, praise God like it's already done. It's 9 o'clock in the morning, and nobody can shout at 9 o'clock in the morning unless you're truly in love with God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, listen to me before we get into the word of the Lord and acknowledge our leader and the first family of our church. I want you to know something, that this is not the church. This is not the early morning service for people that just want to get it over with. This is not the early morning service for the people that want to watch the rest of the Olympics or watch the rest of Politic Nation or Meet the Press or Fox News. This early morning service, we are the people that want to meet him first and enjoy him first and give him our first fruit praise, our best worship. Anybody came this, listen, if you're already here, you put gel in your hair, you put your wig on, your lotion, your crusty feet, you might as well just give God what belongs to him. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God. What a joy it is again to be in Crystal River and to be with Pastor Ronnie and Sherry Reed and the first daughter of the church. It's so good to be with them. And I can't wait to see the first dog of the church. I believe that dog is still, he's still licking and kicking. And I'm just believing God that soon and very soon I'll get to kiss and enjoy him. How many of you know that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof? And God wants us to live the abundant life. And I believe the abundant life is a life full of joy and a life full of laughter, a life full of prosperity and healing. And I enjoyed the song service. I enjoyed this young man this morning, and I enjoyed the musicians. Come on, give our musicians a good God bless you and celebrate what they do. Praise God. Let's get right into the word of the Lord. I got in this morning about 3 o'clock this morning, and it seems like I wasn't ever going to get here. I just drove through every town in Florida and Georgia to get to you. And I do believe that this is not a meeting set up as a fundraiser, and this is not just another time for us to come together and crack jokes and tell stories that'll make your dog and cat cry. I believe that more now than ever before, we need a revival. We need an awakening in our world. We need an awakening in our churches. We need an awakening in our families. Come on, say amen. And more than any ever before, we need an awakening in ourselves. And our leader has asked God and prayed and sought the face of the Lord to have a meeting of such magnitude. And I do believe that it is already a success, because the prayer warriors and the intercessors and the weeping widows have prayed and sought the face of God, that God would open up the windows of heaven. And not only the windows, I don't need God to just open the windows. I need him to open the doors in heaven. I need him to open doors that nobody can shut. And how many of you know God can open doors? I've been here on numerous occasions, and the last time I saw you, my hair was jet black. And this time I got some salt and pepper in it, and I'm going to wash this dye right out of my hair just as soon as Sunday night comes. I want you to know there is absolutely nothing about me that wants to get old. How many of you want to be forever young? Come on, wave at me if you absolutely, you are old and you just don't want to be old. I saw Bob Barker the other day, and Bob Barker is walking like a 20-year-old man. And I want some of his vitamins. How many of you want those Bob Barker pills? God bless you. The word of the Lord in 1 Peter chapter number 5. When you got verse 5, would you say amen? I do believe it is the custom for our church to stand for the reading of the Lord's word. I have recently been doing a series on what does God want and what does the devil want. And I want to deal with this morning, and I've struggled with this on Sunday morning, because I believe it is vitally important for us to be informed. Ignorance is not bliss. There is a price you pay for being ignorant. There is a price you pay for being aloof. There is a price you pay for being disconnected. And I believe more now than ever before, with all of our technological advancements, we are still, in a sense, an uneducated people, and my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And I believe that it is important that we know what God wants for us, from us, and what God wants to do to us and what he requires of us. But I believe it is also important that we know our enemy. How many of you understand the significant importance it is to know our enemy? Look at somebody and say, you better know your enemy. My dad is a football coach in Savannah, Georgia, and my dad spends hours and hours watching tapes and footage of the other team. And the more you know about the other team, the better equipped you are to whip them. And I came this morning to expose the devil for the lying, cheating, sorry, no good, yellow-bellied coward that he is. I want you to know I hate the devil. I can't stand him. And if he was in here this morning, I'd pimp slap him. I'd kick him in his goodbye. I'd choke him. How many of you hate the devil? And how many of you honestly will say this Sunday morning, ain't nothing changed, devil? The same foot that I put on your neck last week is the same foot I want on your neck today. The devil, and I want you to know something, from hell, the devil hadn't changed how he feels about you. He still wants to devour you. He still wants to destroy you. He still wants to make you broke and poor and impoverished and sick. He wants your life to be full of cancer and full of disease and full of confusion. And he wants you to live a life wondering, doubting, and a life full of fretting and backed up in the corner and compromise. But I got news for the devil. God's plan is bigger than the devil's plots. How many of you understand that? And you're going to walk in the freedom and the liberty of God. 1 Peter chapter 5. I believe they'll put it on the projector so we can all share in the reading of the Lord's word. When you got 1 Peter, would you say amen? And I want you to notice very carefully these two words, alert and sober. Alert and sober. Are they going to put it up here, my media team? I want us all to see it. 1 Peter 5, verse number 8. We got the best media team in the world. Yes. All right, here we go. Be sober, be aware, be alert, be on guard, and be vigilant. In other words, be ready for a dog fight. Be ready to fight. Look at somebody and say, since I've been saved, I haven't been fighting folks. But I'm ready to fight the devil, fight the good fight of faith. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. And what is his agenda? He's seeking whom he may devour. Be seated in the presence of Almighty God. I want to deal with this theme this morning. Six things that the devil wants for your life. I want to deal with what the devil really wants. And I want, first of all, to make it very clear that the devil is our adversary. Jesus called him a liar and a murderer from the beginning. He is a fallen angel with the Messiah complex, and we must never ever be ignorant of his devices. The American government, the nation itself, we are facing what we call terrorism or terrorista around the world. Since 9/11 and before 9/11, we have been at war, whether it was in Lebanon or whether it has been in Iran or whether it has been in Vietnam. We have always been at war at some point, somewhere in American history. There's never been a time where we can live in isolation from the world. There's always something to fight, because a fool is birthed every minute. There's always a fool. There is no shortage of dictators who are insane, like Saddam Hussein and Mubarak and leaders around the world, Assad. There is no shortage of dictators and crazy leaders like Hillary and other folks. There's no shortage in our world of twisted, manipulative, maniacal, email hiding, deleting leaders, Trumpism. There's absolutely no shortage of food. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, I live near some crazy people. There is no shortage. And what we find out in our world, and let's deal with this, that terrorism abroad is terrorism homegrown in our world, is what our enemy wants more than anything, is he wants us to back up. What's happening with this new group, which first it was Al-Qaeda and then Hezbollah, and now we're dealing with ISIL or ISIS, and it is ISIL is the CIA code name for ISIS, because our country doesn't ever want our enemy to feel that we respect them. And so we always disrespect our enemies because we know what we got and we know what they promote. And one of the things about terrorism that we must be conscious of, or the devil, is he always wants you to back up and he wants you to be afraid. He wants you to be very afraid. And one of the things that our enemy want is they want America out. They don't want us in their affairs. They want us out of Iraq, and they want us out of Syria, and they want us out of the Middle East. And just like your kids, they want you out of their bedrooms. They want you out, and they want you to finance all of their projects. How many of you have kids that are terrorists, and all they want to do is drain you of your money, drain you of your resources, and they don't want you in their room? And we live in a day and age where we're so cosmopolitan, and we've left the Leave It to Beaver generation. Now we got this Kardashian generation, and our kids literally have their own life. They eat in their rooms. They invite their company in their room. They have their iPhone, their micro this and micro that, and their smartphones. And we live in a day and age where my five-year-old son looked at me and he said, "Dad, are you going to stop at Toys R Us for us and buy me what I want?" We live in a day and age where people impose their will on you and force you to do what they want you to do. And if you don't do what they want you to do, they have a temper tantrum. But for my five-year-old, when he has a tantrum, I have a tantrum. I got a spirit called whoop that butt. How many of you had a mama had the spirit of whoop that butt? But my mom was not afraid of me. She would act up at Walmart, at Kmart, at Publix, at Kroger, jack me up. I had a mama that could cook a pork chop, talk on the phone, drive a car, and tell you, put your face up, slap you in your face. Terrorism. And if you don't deal with it, it will conquer you. If you don't deal with the devil, just because you're like an ostrich and you put your head in the sand, it does not mean your problem goes away. The ostrich is known for putting his head in the sand, and the lion standing behind him and said, "What does this fool think he's doing?" Just because you're not paying attention to it does not mean the enemy is not paying attention to you. And I want you to understand, just like ISIS and Al-Qaeda and Hezbollah, they want us out of the Middle East. They want us to back up, cut tail, and run so that they can enforce their will and their radical agenda on everybody in the Middle East. And then, like a germ, it spreads around the world. Just like Hitler wanted to destroy and control the world, our enemies, our religious fanatic enemies, want to control and destroy the world. But I got news for every radical Islam in the world. No weapon formed against the people of God shall prosper. And if God be for us, we got the blood, we got Jesus, we got the Holy Spirit, we got the peace of God. Somebody clap your hands and praise the Lord. And so, sisters and brothers, the enemy has a plan for all of our lives. And it is number one to steal, number one to kill, and number two to kill, steal, and to destroy. And God calls us to be alert, and he calls us to be sober, watching out for the schemes of the devil. And I want you to understand that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion. He is not a roaring lion, but he perpetrates as a lion, just looking for somebody's life to destroy. And he wants to destroy our lives by keeping us from the joy of living in a relationship with Christ. And in order to avoid being devoured, and that's what we must do, people of God, we must avoid being devoured. We must avoid being terminated. We must avoid being joyless Christians who walk around with no hope and no happiness and no life and no joy. And there are things that the devil tools that the enemy uses to devour us. And the first thing that the devil uses to devour us is his most significant weapon, and that is the tool of doubt. Because if the devil can make you doubt it, he'll make you live without it. If the devil can make you doubt, put uncertainty between your relationship with God and your relationship with life and the expectations and the fulfillment of God's promises in your life, he will surely devour you. And we serve a God who has a proven track record. How many of you know that God has a proven track record from Genesis to Revelation? Our God has a track record of putting sons in the sky and moons at night and stars in their sockets. We have a God who has a proven track record. He has a track record of getting 99-year-old women pregnant without Viagra. We serve a God that can open Red Seas and make ravens feed prophets and turn hoochie mamas like Rahab into evangelists. We have a God who can make an axe head swim, turn water into wine, wake up a dead man that's been dead for 4 days and he's stinking up the neighborhood. Our God has a proven track record. And if God did it before, why are you doubting him right now? He is the God that healeth thee. He is the God that delivers thee. He is the God that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above everything you could ask or think. Doubt is from the enemy. It comes to rob you of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is our belief in God that propels us to hope in God. And hope maketh not ashamed, because God doesn't lie. God doesn't fail. God doesn't leave nor forsake us as orphans. And if God brought you to it, he will see you through it. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Can I get about 25 people that believes the report of the Lord to help me shout in this house? Doubt. Somebody say doubt. The etymological root of the word doubt is to be uncertain about it, to be unsure. And this is what the devil wants. He wants you to be unsure about your relationship with God and the ability of God. Right. That's what he wants. Right. Unsure. What's unsure? We got 2 sardines and 5 pieces of Wonder Bread. Right. We need to send these people home. I'm sure we can't feed them with 2 little fishes and 5 pieces of bread. And Jesus said, tell them people to sit down. And watch me fry this fish without a stove. And watch me bake this bread without an oven. And when he got through, he opened up a Captain D's in the middle of nowhere and fed 5,000 plus women and children. If the man can feed 5,000 people with 2 little fishes and 5 pieces of bread, then surely he can pay your light bill. He can get your kid through college. He can heal your body. I'm telling you, if you are a child of God, you need to start praising God when your back is against the wall, because your problem is another opportunity for God to show your enemies that he'll prepare a table in their presence. Somebody shout yes. I want you to understand something, child of God. If God said it, lay hands on yourself and say, God said it. I'm the head and not the tail. God said it. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. God said it. I will make your enemy your footstool. God said it. I will open the windows of heaven. God said it. And if God said it, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. God said it. Doubt. Let's deal with John chapter 20 and verse 27. John 20 and 27, go over there and let's talk about Doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas. Yeah, get this girl helping. Lord have mercy. You want to finish this? Woo! She's been speaking in tongues since 3 o'clock this morning. She was frying eggs shouting. I like bread and butter anyway. Thomas said, I don't believe this. Just like your kids, when they go off these secular universities, they come back with, I don't believe this no more. How many of you had your kids tell you, I don't believe this no more. This ain't real. God ain't real. Darwinism. But every monkey that was a monkey stayed a monkey and died a monkey. Big Bang theories. And these secular humanists, your kids go off to college and they come back telling you they don't believe in God. Right. And old Thomas had the same syndrome. Thomas said, listen, I don't believe in no resurrection. The women said, we saw him. And Thomas said, I don't believe you. I don't believe your testimony. I don't believe nothing. And they were in a room. And Jesus didn't use the window. Jesus didn't use the door. He just walked through the wall. And Thomas was standing there. And he made sure that Thomas was there. And walked through the wall. I don't know who I'm talking to, but God's getting ready to walk through some wall. You got family members that are atheists, that are agnostics, that don't believe in miracles, that don't believe in God. I'm telling you, God is getting ready to walk through somebody's wall. I don't know who I'm talking to. You're not going to lose your house to foreclosure. You're not going to lose your son or daughter to homosexuality or lesbianism. God is going to walk through your walls. I don't care what it looks like. Your God specializes in walking through walls. Look at somebody and say, he gonna walk through the wall. He walks through the wall and walks up to Thomas and said, touch me. Reach your finger here. And look at my hands. Reach into my hand here. Put it into my side. Don't doubt, believe. Boy, Thomas became one of the greatest disciples. Thomas not only died for the Lord in honor, but died for the Lord all out, all in, all in all. He didn't want to be crucified upside down or right side up, but he was torn in two. For the name of God, a man that said, I doubt whether there be a resurrection. When he saw it, he said, I'm willing to die for this. Our problem is we got people that don't want to live for this. Not willing to die for this. When Thomas touched him, he said, my Lord and my God. I want you to lift your hands up and say, my Lord and my God. God is going to give somebody a my Lord and my God kind of blessing. A my Lord, my God, I didn't think it could be until it happened to me. He is going to do the impossible in your life. I came to talk to people that doubt. Look at the track record of God. Put God's track record. Look at the testimonies in this house today. There are people in this room that shouldn't be alive, that should be in the graveyard, but God stepped in right in the nick of time. If God ever stepped in, why don't you give him praise in this house? I'm not in Hollywood today. I want a real miracle to wave at me. I'm not in Hollywood. I need somebody that ever got a real miracle. Wave at me. Many of you know my testimony. I don't know why I feel led to give it today. I was preaching in South Florida for Pastor J.T. Johnson and Homestead. And then South Florida, Homestead, Florida, south of Miami. I was scheduled to get on this flight about 6 o'clock in the morning. And how many of you know that's a miracle because the dead in Christ rise first? Well, they came to pick me up late. I got to the airport. Before we got to the airport, I went to the bank and got to an ATM machine and put the card in the machine. The machine ate the card. It was a whole bunch of jazz going on that morning. I was mad. I was upset. I was already up way too early, and we were getting to the airport way too late. And there, preparing to get on this flight, I finally got the ticket, finally checked in the bags, was standing in line to get in the plane, and this white woman in Miami walked up to me and said, are you Mr. Ziegler? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, your bags didn't make this flight. That was a miracle because white people don't live in Miami. But that white woman came and got me. And said, you got to go down the hall, Mr. Ziegler. And that flight that I was scheduled to get on took off from Miami, going to Atlanta, Georgia, and exploded and killed all the passengers. And they left my name on the ledger as one of the persons that was still on the plane. Now, let me tell all y'all black people something. I love white people. Y'all say what y'all want to say about white people. I love white people. Listen, man, give me all the mayonnaise you can give me. I love white folks. That white woman came and got me out of the line. I got on that other flight, and by the time I got home to Atlanta, my mother had got the news that my plane exploded, and they thought I was dead. And I walked in the door. I had to take a cab home. I knocked on the door, and my mom was crying. She said, "We just got a call from ValueJet that your plane crashed." And my dad said, 6 o'clock was way too early for Johnny Earl to make that flight. I know he wasn't on it. I came back from the dead. I came back from the Florida Everglades to tell you, if God got something great for you, the devil can't kill you. The alligator can't eat you. The force can't destroy you. I need somebody in this room to help me shout 9:30 in the morning about your future. Now, when God delivers you from a plane crash, you ought to be shouting. How about car wrecks? You shouldn't be alive. There go my witness right there. You shouldn't be alive. This young man, wave at me. Let me interview you. My name is Bob Costas. I'm just kidding. You shouldn't be alive. Any other witnesses in here? The doctor can put you to sleep, but God got to wake you up. Doubt. But doubt is, I'm uncertain about the future. But spiritual doubt is, I'm uncertain about God. And there's some people in this room that are uncertain about God. And the devil is winning, 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 winning. And one thing in my life, I don't ever want the devil to win. I want you to lift your hands and say, I don't want the devil to win. If God delivered me 20 years ago from death, then the same God is the God that delivers my son 25 years later. I don't know who I'm talking to. Doubt your doubts, but don't doubt God. Have faith in God. God don't lie. God don't fail. He can make it happen. The devil wants you to doubt. Secondly, what does the devil want? Lean forward, lean forward. He wants you to live in fear. He wants you to live in a Prozac, Zoloft, drugged up world. He wants you to live in it. Fear. Woo. Anxiety. The definition of anxiety is something bad is going to happen to me real soon. Anxiety. We live in a world where 13% of Americans are controlled by some mind-altering antidepressants. And it's the first thing the devil prescribes to you the minute that you feel like you're having a heart attack. Well, let me give you this. And then you have a brain attack. Where you start seeing things that are not there and feeling things that are not happening. And you walk around every day of your life thinking you're going to die. Fear. Real fear. And that's one of the greatest tools of the enemy. But God didn't give you fear. God gave us reverence. Reverence, not fear, horror, nightmarish, Freddy Krueger, Jason, that kind of stuff. And the devil wants you to live in fear all the time. Shaky, quaky, uneasy. But scripture teaches, I sought the Lord and he heard me. And he delivered me from all fear. Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For the Lord promised to be with me. Any witnesses out here? Fear. There's nothing worse than fear. My son has asthma. And I don't know how I got up. I don't know how I heard him downstairs. I got up early in the morning. And my son, about 3 o'clock, was laying face down. He got out of the bed. And he couldn't breathe. And he was laying face down on the floor. And I opened his door. And I turned his light on. And he was laying face down on the floor. And fear got a hold of me. Your son's going to die. And then... something else got a hold of me. There is always a battle in your life where faith and fear is present at the same time. And whoever your God is, that's the one who's going to win. If your God is the God of Elijah, then faith is always going to win. There are natural inclinations and proclivities to be afraid. But if your God is the God that raised Jesus from the dead, then something will generate inside of you, wake up inside of you. I got on top of that boy. I turned him over and started praying and pleading the blood. My son began to relax and calm down, and he had this terrible cough. He just had this cough that was just a terrible, just gut-wrenching cough. And one afternoon, Jaden said to me, he said, Dad, and I was praying about it, and I was worried about it. And the devil said, you were there this time. Next time, you're not going to be here. And that rolled my mind. Preaching all over the country, and the devil said, you were there this time, but there's going to be a next time. But he doesn't understand. What you put in your kids is what you get out of them. And my baby, 5 years old, he told me, he said, have you noticed, Dad? And you'll see my son, you know, oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm going to take him to black school after a while. He's just proper and dignified. And Dad, I'm Dad. I'm going to get him some collard greens and fatback with ham hocks in it. I'm Dad, Dad. He said, Dad, have you noticed I haven't been coughing? And I said, no, son, I haven't noticed. He said, I prayed to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he took this call from me. I want you to lift your hands. Pray about everything. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Don't worry about anything. And the God of peace will take that fear from you. He'll take that anxiety from you. He'll take away that worration. Listen, if you know the Lord is keeping you, what do you have to worry about? If God gave you a promise, he's got to fulfill it. Don't be afraid. God is the God of the breakthrough. Lift your hands and wave them in this house. Fear. Number one, the devil wants you to live in uncertainty. Listen, your steps are ordered by God. And the devil wants you to feel like, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what's going to happen. For I know the plans I have for you, saith God. That's what he told Jeremiah. I know what I'm doing, homeboy. You just chill out, trust me, and know I'll get you there. Ball up your fists and say, God's got this. Doubt, that's what the devil wants. Number two, he wants you to live in a constant state of be afraid, be very afraid all the time. One of my friends was talking about how bad the world is, and they cutting people's heads off, and they got these great knives, and they got guns, and they got this, and they got that. And when he got through talking to me, I needed the Valium. And he's a tongue-talking, Bible-toting, scripture-quoting Pentecostal, and he was telling me why I needed to be scared. And if you listen to church people long enough, they'll make you go home and go to bed. Have you ever got off the phone with somebody and needed to go to sleep because they drained you? They drained you? Somebody looked at me and said, him, my husband, every time he called. Honey, when they got through telling me how ISIS had this and that and the other, I wanted to just go take a bath and go to bed and get under the covers like Charlie Brown and the Peanuts. And I told my friend, I said, but we got him. Point up and say, but we got him. We got the Alpha, the Omega, the great I Am, the great high priest. We got the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We got the healer. We got the deliverer. We got the sanctifier. We got the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. I wish I had somebody in this room. If you got Jesus, you got healing. You got provision. You got power. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall have power to break every chain. Somebody shout in this house. Listen, we got him. What are you afraid of? He's in the boat. Wake him up. I don't want to disturb. You better wake him up. I don't want to disturb. Wake him up. Wake him up. We used to sing a song years ago, Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Last point, third point number three. Let's hurry up and get through this. Let's see how long we got. Lord, this I done preached so much, this watch just died on me. The devil is alive. So I guess I just got to keep going till it comes back on. Y'all crazy up in here. Number three, the devil wants you to live in insecurity. He wants you to live in doubt. He wants you to live in fear. And he wants you to be so insecure. But you are a chosen generation. You're royal. You're peculiar. You're the apple of his eye. Out of all these people in the world, God chose you from the foundation of the world. Let me tell y'all something about women. Can I tell y'all something about women? Women like to be asked. They don't like you to decide for them. Even if they don't want to go, they want to be able to say, no, I don't feel like it. Girl, you know he asked me to go to the prom. I really didn't want to go, but he asked me. Ain't nothing worse for a girl for nobody to ask. A girl likes to be asked. Why don't you just ask your girl, you want to come out here and change this radiator with me? You want to go out here with me and shovel this horse poop? I just want to know, do you want to do it? Men, start asking your women to do stuff with you. They just like to be asked. There's nothing worse than for somebody to take your power from you. And you can't make no decisions. They make them all for you. Just ask her. Do you want to go with me? Where you going? Oh, I'm going to a wrench convention to watch people take a wrench and unscrew stuff. No, 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 thank you. That's what the devil, he don't ask you nothing. He just takes from you. And he takes, doesn't ask you. And he wants you to live in an utter state of insecurity all the time. He doesn't want you to know that you're chosen by God. He doesn't want you to know, I don't care what nobody says. Listen, women, listen, men. I don't care what nobody says. There's somebody for everybody. Amen. Am I helping anybody in this house? There's somebody for everybody. You just ain't in the right place. Honey, if you in the right place, honey, listen, you will get run over by somebody that want you. But let me tell you something. God wants you. Always did want you. When you were in your mother's womb, he wanted you. He chose you before the foundation of the world. And the devil wants you to believe you're ugly, you're fat, you're out of shape. Nobody won't want you. Listen, some men like shade in the summer and heat in the winter. Some men... Hello, somebody. My brother bought a big old girl home. My daddy said, my Lord, son, bring on in here. And let me tell y'all something. Big girls got a lot of love in their heart. All they need is somebody to give them some attention and ask them to go to Golden Corral. That's all they want. You want a ham sandwich? Yeah, baby. Chosen. 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 Am I helping anybody in this house? Chosen. If somebody will want Rosie O'Donnell, Joseph. Bishop, you got to get it together. It's the first day of the revival, and I'm already talking about big girls. Now listen. But don't get it. But insecurity, you'd be surprised how insecure people really are. People like Marilyn Monroe, how insecure they are. Like Kim Kardashian, how when they talk, they let you know how insecure they are. And you think they got it going on, but they really have nothing inside. They're empty and barren and desolate. Man, I watched Peyton Manning's interview and how he said he's so lonely after he retired. You'll be surprised to know how people really feel. You do not know everything. And just because people look like one thing on one side, they go to bed and cry themselves themselves to sleep because they live in such a tortured world in their mind. They live under pressure. They live under stress. You don't want to be Ronnie Reed. When I saw him on Facebook riding that motorcycle, I said, ride, Ronnie, ride. Because I understand you got to be good every Sunday. Every Sunday night, he got to be good 3 times on Sunday. And 70% of all preachers die on Monday morning. I just came to encourage you today. I just want you to be, I want you to feel good about your ministry. 70% of all preachers die on Monday. You know why? Because they take all that stuff in. And they begin to feel insecure or uncertain. You preach a great sermon and nobody says anything. You preach a bad sermon. You go over the time. Now, these same people will go watch the Titanic for 4 hours with a bladder full of Sprite and watch it. And they can't hear you preach for 45 minutes. Something is wrong with you when you love movies, Hollywood, more than you love God. Is there anybody in this church that's in love with Jesus Christ and you don't care? Somebody stand up and help me shout in this house. Glory to God. Let me get to number 4. Where's your watch, Lauren? Give me that phone. All right, I'm almost there. Let me deal with this. Chosen. You're chosen. You don't need to be insecure. Good God. Look at the person next to you and say, my God, you smell so good. You smell like biscuits and gravy right now. Boy, that was my pickup line for women. Girl, you smell like a pot of colic. Girl, that'd get them every time. But the devil, he wants you to live in insecurity. But you are chosen. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Anointed from God Almighty God. Handprints all over you. If they did a DNA test on you, they'd say, my God, somebody got big handprints on this woman. The hand of the Lord is upon you. Number 4, let's switch it because this is very important, what the devil wants. You know what he wants from you? Skip church. The devil wants you to get so comfortable in the world that you forget about this, the house of God. And when Brother Reed was singing about the house of God, the devil wants you to feel so uncomfortable in God's house that you can easily skip it. The devil wants you to skip church. The more involved you are in the world, the less involved you are in God. And the devil wants you to feel like it don't take all that. While girls are being sex trafficked and little boys are being raped by priests and preachers alike, the devil wants you to feel like it don't take all that. And all around the world, people are being tortured and killed for the name of Jesus. And you on the beach on the surfboard of all the days, Sunday morning, the Lord's day. It is amazing how we treat God, how we take care of God's business, and we want God to take care of all our business. Do this over here, do that over there. All God wants in the relationship with you is real quality time. And we have this uncanny knack of always not showing up. Skip church. My son played soccer. And the little liberal soccer coach said, Mr. Ziegler, we have soccer at 10 o'clock on Sunday. I said, well, Jaden can play soccer at home. Because at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, Jaden is in church. The world don't care nothing about your church commitment. These liberal judges and liberal politicians don't care nothing about the blood of Jesus, the cross of Calvary. They don't care nothing about your grandma praying all night and fasting and seeking the Lord. What the devil wants is to create opportunities that will distract you and get you away from God and the things of God. And guess what? We fall right into it all the time. Let me tell you something. Y'all don't want to hear this morning, but this is what I take sacredly. I cannot stand the idea that I take something from God. And the devil wants you to get comfortable skipping church and robbing God. And that, let me tell you something. One thing you don't want, listen to me very carefully. You don't want God to dry up your money. You don't want God to dry up the favor in your life, the blessings in your life. The last thing you want is the favor of God to dry up in your life and you find out that you're doing this on your own. Lift your hand and say, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my glory. The Lord is my lifter. The Lord is my everything. And listen, I don't have time to skip church to play golf, to skip church to play, to go to the beach, or go to this, or go to that, or go to the other. I made up my mind. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm not going to let nothing separate me from the love of God, from the house of God, from the things of God. Am I talking to anybody in this house? Well, Brother Ziegler, that's just religion. I can just watch church on the internet and YouTube clips. Honey, it's something about coming together in the same room with believers of like faith and worshiping God together. There's nothing better than unity. Nothing better than... Listen, well, why don't you just be married like this? Honey, you live in California and I'm going to move to Connecticut and I'll just watch you on my iPhone. Why don't you try that with your wife and see how long it lasts? I'll just watch it on YouTube. I'll just watch it. And this is a ploy. The devil wants to snatch our attention. Skipping church becomes an option when we're not in love like we used to be in love. And so all over the South in the Bible Belt, Jesus is becoming more of an option than a priority. And I went to a church in Atlanta, and they have a big billboard and said, "This is not your grandma church. We get you out in an hour. Just because you bake it for an hour don't mean it's done." Just because you put it in the oven for an hour don't mean it's full of blood. And things are going on now in people's homes that will blow your mind. Things are happening in America that will blow your mind. This is the very effect of forgetting God. I saw something in America that I thought I'd never see. The president of the United States lit up the White House, not in the colors of Noah's rainbow. He lit up the colors of the White House, lit it up for everybody to see that the God of this Bible is antiquated, old-fashioned. His rules, we don't need to follow anymore. We need to do what we want, when we want. Our God's name is pleasure and pleasing this flesh, doing what you want, when you want. I know some of you whites and Latinos and blacks say, well, let me tell you what about the president that I find offensive. When you take this book and twist it and manipulate scripture to fit your agenda. I don't have no issue with the word Democrat or Republican, but when you take the holy book, the word of God, and you try to change God's commandments to fit into your liberal ideology, there is something wrong with the nation that forgets the God of the Bible. Listen, church, we don't have any room to skip church. Lift your hands in this house. When I saw the White House lit up, what that said to me is God is dead. He's dead and he's old and he's not cosmo. He's not fashionable. Who wants that? We don't want that anymore. And guess what? We don't either. We're just like them. We have this idea, it don't take all that, so I'll just go to the beach, go to the lake, and swim with an ugly manatee. skipping church. And how many of you understand if something happens to you when you miss a month of church? Wave at me. Oh, come on, wave. Look around, Bishop Reed. I want you to see something happens to you when you are MIA. But it's amazing that these people don't treat their job like they treat their church. They brown nose that, hey, you want some coffee, Bob? I made some coffee for you just like you like it. We brown nose people that really can't help us. You gonna need God more than you need that job. You gonna need the favor of God more than you need that little bit of money. Because that little bit of money you make on your job, it's not enough to pay your bills. But God knows how to take that 90% after you gave that 10% and make big things happen. I need a witness in this house to help me shout, God, hey, God knows how. Can I stay on this? Skipping church. Give me a chair. Give me your chair. Give me yours. How much do these chairs cost, Ronnie? $30? Imagine this is this chair, and you're not in it. And the devil comes to church every Sunday making sure you're not in your chair. Because the devil knows you can go to hell for $30. He comes to church every Sunday. Got them. They're not there. And sometimes the very thing you need is the very Sunday you miss.
That's truth right there. That's truth right there.
And when your chair is unoccupied, the devil is saying to his demons, good job, guys. We made them skip. Stayed in the bed. You're not tired on Saturday morning. You wake up early Saturday morning, but son, I'm so tired. I'm just tired. I ain't never been this tired. Honey, that's a demon. That's what it is. Watch this. When you're not in your seat, worshiping God, the fact that some of you are sick this morning and you came anyway, had a migraine headache all night, but you came anyway. Had to get up in the middle of the night and take pills, but you came anyway. You know why? Because you honor your time in God's house. The prodigal son said, I'm going home. Somebody lift your hands and say, I want to go home. Some glad morning when this life is over, I'm going home. But it's amazing, mommy, how people want to spend an hour and 20 minutes in church, but they want to go to heaven for eternity. It's madness. Skipping church. If the devil can make you skip, he'll make you slip. And you'll be led astray. Point number 5 is the devil wants you to be led astray. Ain't but one pastor in this church, one senior pastor. And there are many wolves in sheep clothing in Crystal River. There's enough preachers in Crystal River. There's enough preachers in this county and this region to lead you astray. Just send me $100. Give me I'll send you some miracle water that they got out of their toilet. This backslidden network and these preachers on television come in and sell you dreams. $1,000, just send me your SSI check. Send me this money, and God will send you a blessing, but you got to send that money first. And many people are being led astray all over America, being led to believe that God's way is not perfect, righteous, holy. The devil wants you to be led astray. Lastly, point number 6, the devil wants you to fail. That's it. That's the end game. Right. Satan desires to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Lay hands on your neighbor's shoulder, and I want you right now, I don't know why I feel this in my soul. If every person that partners with this church, we're going to open up that overflow. Amen. Amen. There's going to be a coming back to God. There's going to be a coming back to church. There's going to be a coming back to fellowship and coming back to being brothers and sisters in the faith and the fight. And it's going to be a coat of many colors, black, white, red, yellow, where people decide, listen, I want to be in God's house. What? Listen, say that. I want to be in God's house. Not the White House, not the State House. And somebody ought to say, not the jailhouse. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody been in the jailhouse? Lift your hand. No, put your hand down, don't you? My God, that old woman over there just lifted her hand. She thought, I said, well, mother, whatever you did, that was 50 years ago. Nobody remembered. They don't even have a computer for what you did. I'm not going to tell who it is. It's just that woman right over there. She lifts her over there, Bishop. She's been to jail several times. Hallelujah. See, you don't know what you miss when you don't come. But this is what he wants. You to doubt, you to fear, you to be insecure, and he wants you to skip church. Why does he want you out of the house of God? Because he steals the promises of God for you. The fellowship, the unity, the love. There's nothing like a church family when you lose your sister. My sister died, and I had a church family, and there's nothing like family. And last point again, the devil wants you to fail. Put your hand on somebody's shoulder and say, you're not going to fail. Some of you are lonely. Some of you are grieving. Some of you have been grieving 10 and 15 years, the loss of a spouse or a kid. I grieved my sister 8 years, and the devil wanted me to drown in it. In the insecurity of God just took my sister and I just can't trust him. I can't believe in him because he took my sister. Listen, we all leaving here. We all leaving here. Sooner or later, we're all leaving here regardless. And there's never a good time for somebody you love to leave. Never. In their 80s, in their teen years, there's never a good time. But the comfort to know, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you that. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Child of God, God doesn't want you to skip. He doesn't want you to miss. And I want people in this room this morning to shut your eyes. The devil's been winning. The devil's been winning. My biggest problem with us is we give him what he wants. A bad attitude is like a flat tire. You're not going anywhere till you change it. And some of us got a bad, sad attitude. You're mad at the world. You look like you sucked 4 lemons 8 o'clock this morning to come to church. And it ain't worth it to live your life unhappy, sad. I'm not this reincarnation. I'm going to come back as a mosquito with Zika. I believe that when I die, my last breath here is going to be my first breath in the New Jerusalem. If you in this room will honestly say, give me a little bit over there, Brother Maestro, my blue-eyed soul brother over there. Those of you that would say with me, Brother Ziegler, I'm concerned about the devil winning. Wave your hand. I don't want him to win. Look at it. I don't want him to win. Nothing. I don't want him to win. I want God to win. We sing a song in Atlanta. Hallelujah. We have won the victory. And those of you that want to make a new commitment, these next 4 months are going to be winning months for you. They're going to be months of conquering giants and going into the promised land. And they're months of no anxiety. And you're going to be able to wean yourself off of these antidepressants. I believe that. These sleeping pills and alcohol. And I got to have a cigarette because I'm so nervous. I believe God can give you peace that a cigarette can't give you. That Zoloft can't give you. If you were to make a real commitment to the Lord, I just want you to stand up right where you're sitting. I'm ready to make a new commitment. A new commitment. We're going into the next 4 months. This next season after the summer is the fall. And we're going to fall back in love with Jesus. We're going to fall back in love with God. Give me a young, strong. Here he is. A young, strong man. Wait a minute. I don't have my glasses. I'm just kidding. Pick this chair up. Are you strong enough? You were sitting by her. Y'all just sitting together. Y'all know each other real good. How well you? Anyway, I ain't going to get in your business. About 30 years. Oh, that's his boo thing over there. Hold this chair up. This is what the devil wants, folks. An empty chair. Let's walk down this aisle. When you're missing, we miss you. It's not about the money. It's about you. But it is about the money when your money's been dried up or you're cursed with a curse because you took 10%. You know what people that don't tithe are saying to God? You're not worth a dime. A dime out of a dollar. If I was God, I would be like a woman in California that just divorced George Lucas. Give me half. I want half of it. I ain't negotiating half. God just asked for a dime. Just give me a dime out of that dollar. And I'll open for you the windows of heaven. This is what the devil wants. Wait a minute, pick this chair up. Lord, it's heavy. It's heavier than I thought. Well, let me help you then. Wait, let him pick it up. He's a big old cornbread eating man. Come on. Look like he ate two people this morning. Pick it up. Yeah. I want him with me. Let me get up under here with you. Yeah, yeah. This is what the devil wants. Empty chairs in this church. This is what he wants. Come on, help him. Come on, handsome. Come on. With your blue jeans on, you're looking good, man. Hold it up. This is what the devil wants, Crystal River. We should be 1,200 strong. We should be 1,200 strong. People should be standing in line because of the rich word and the worship and the love that's in this church. I'm telling you, this is a phenomenal church. It's an amazing, look where God brought us from. Over 20 years of ministry and we're still loving God and worshiping God. And this is what the devil wants, an empty chair. I don't want you to come to the altar. I want you to make an altar at your seat. And I want you to deal with God and tell God, I'm not going to let the devil win. I'm not going to let him beat me with cancer. I'm not going to let him beat me with addiction, whether it's sexual addiction, drug addiction, codependency, where you glob on the people and you're so needy. You need a boyfriend so bad that you'll date Wooly the Wino or Boom Boom Barbara or Horny Harry. You'll just hook up with crazy folks just to have somebody. HIV ain't worth it. It ain't worth having some disease or losing your life. This woman the other day was dating this man. She didn't know him, just started dating him, and they found her strangled. Just met somebody on the internet, and just these folks fall in love with folks they don't know their mom. Listen, if I'm gonna date you, I got to know your mama, your daddy, your first cousin, your second cousin. I want the FBI to check out your whole crew. And folks are so needy that they'll just glob on to anybody just to have somebody. It ain't worth it. If you get a relationship with God, God will give you somebody you ain't got to run after. God will give you somebody that you ain't got to be up all night worrying about where they at and when they coming home. When God blesses you, he causes your cup to run over and goodness and mercy to follow you. Do it God's way, for that's the only way. Right where you are, make an altar at your chair. And I want you to go through your mind. Is the devil winning the doubt war? Is the devil winning the fear war? Is the devil winning the security war? Am I not secure in God? Listen, is the devil winning the skip church war? Is the devil winning the lead me astray war? Or am I failing in my life? Am I not where I need to be? I want everybody praying in this room. in the name. I want you praying. I don't want you, for some reason, I don't feel led to call you to the altar, but praying at your seat. God, I want you to win. You have won the victory. You've won the victory. Hallelujah. Grab the back of your chair as a point of contact. And I want you to say it with conviction. I'm tired of losing the battle of depression. I feel that in this room. I'm tired of losing the battle with depression and fear and anxiety, grief. In the name of Jesus, it's time to win. It's time to win. I'm tired of losing the battle in my mind. I'm tired of losing the battle with my family and my kids. They don't call. They don't come over. I don't ever see them. I want to win this battle. And I want my kids and I and husband and I to be a family. I'm tired of arguing and fussing and cussing and separating for 3 months and then I come back. Breaking up for 6 months and then I'm tired of losing the battle. Arguing with your boyfriend, fighting and all that drama. I'm tired of the devil winning. And right now, in the name of Jesus, God, I surrender. As we pray, our family pastor is going to pray for us. And I want you to hear this prayer as a new start for the fall. As we leave the summer and prepare for the fall, I want you to hear this prayer this morning as I'm going to have 4 winning months. 4 winning months. I'm talking to people. Listen, I understand this is a new day. I know I've smoked marijuana my life. I've dealt with depression and fear and grief and anxiety and drank alcohol. Listen, ain't no need for me to come here and act like I'm holier than anybody in this room because I have this excellent past. And listen, I've done some horrible things, but he forgave me and he reconciled me and he turned my life around. And I don't live off of cheap grace or sloppy agape. I don't have any unforgiveness or bitterness. And I want you to come pray for families that you will renew your commitment to the Lord and this church.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.